May what is spoken and what is heard be spoken and heard in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know how you men out there hear this gospel reading, but if some of you women are like me and you hear it and you ask, okay, am I a Martha or a Mary? I'd like you to let go of that. That's not what this sermon is about today. I'm going to ask you to think back past the sequence hymn and past the Colossians lesson to the Genesis lesson about Abraham. Today's reading from Abraham, or from Genesis about Abraham, is a wonderful story of hospitality. Abraham sees and welcomes three strangers, bidding them stay with him, spreading a feast before them, and then discovering that he had entertained angels and met the Lord. Hospitality was a requirement of the Hebrews' faith. Living as they did in an inhospitable land, hospitality was a matter of life and death to travelers. God commanded the people to take care of the travelers and to care for aliens in their midst, because they were once aliens in the land themselves. They were even to allow aliens to worship with them under the circumstance that they would accept circumcision. Jesus carried hospitality to a whole new level. He welcomed not only traveling strangers, but known outcasts, including the unclean, those unclean for a variety of reasons, blindness, lameness, deafness, whatever, disease, foreigners, women, and welcomed them without criteria. Today's gospel story is a story of Martha and Mary offering hospitality to Jesus towards the end of his ministry, when most people considered Jesus a renegade and an outlaw. Hospitality in the Bible is not just for what someone told me has been referred to in this community as PLU, people like us. It's for everyone. As followers of Jesus then, and that is who we are meant to be, we follow Jesus' example in extending hospitality to all. If you are a visitor here today, you can expect to be welcomed at every level. And if you are not a visitor here today, you are expected to welcome visitors and newcomers here at every level. So look around and be sure you do. Henry Nouwen said that hospitality is making a place for the other in your heart. Making a place for the other in your heart. Once you do that, everything else follows pretty naturally, because we all want to take care of those things that we hold in our heart. One of the things that has really moved me the last couple weeks is how so many of you have labored so hard to extend hospitality to three families who gathered for memorial services here, two with interments in the garden. Those of you who came not once, not twice, but three times even, to set up, to cook, to serve, to prepare the church, the altar, the garden, you have extended the hospitality of Christ to people who need it dearly, often to people you do not know personally. That is hospitality to the stranger. Perhaps you have entertained angels or seen the face of Christ in some of those you serve this week. As I read the news this week, it occurred to me that what happened to Trayvon Martin was the antithesis of hospitality to the stranger. It was actually, I think we would all agree, pretty blatant hostility towards a stranger, which when acted on became lethal. In his case, the stranger was assumed to be a menace and stalked, confronted, and eventually killed. And he was really, we learned too late, just walking down the street carrying a bag of Skittles and an iced tea, where he was not PLU, people like us. Now, I am the mother of a son who does not look like most of us. And to me, it strikes fear and sorrow to the very roots of my being to see this happen to anyone's son. The details of how and why it happened are the story of snowballing error. And I don't want to talk about those. I don't think the pulpit is the place to talk about the trial or the verdict. But what I want to talk about is the core, the root. And that is something for us to talk about because it is our basic theology and our identity as people of God. The core of this whole terrible incident around which all this weight stuck and all the snowballing happened was the suspicion and hostility toward the stranger. That's how it all started. I dearly wish we could write this off as an isolated incident. But it is heartbreakingly common. I have long heard stories from my African American friends of being pulled over in their cars for DWB, driving while black. As hard as it is for us who don't have to experience it to believe, this happens. And for no other reason than looking dark-skinned in a neighborhood where most people have light skin. Parents have to teach their children how to avoid being brutalized. Keep your hands open and in sight. Don't make a fast move. Don't run. Most of us have never had to learn those lessons. I can tell you when your child is attacked for looking different, it is heartbreaking. It's not just in Florida that these things happen. Do you remember the Harvard professor who was arrested for trying to open his own front door in Boston a few years ago? And sadly, I hear stories of our own employee being stopped and questioned by the local police on his way to work because he doesn't fit the picture of who they think should be in this neighborhood. Right here. And I read stories in the newspaper of Francis House School District parents screaming their fears about strangers from Normandy High School who will be coming into their district. I can only imagine being a parent trying to find a better education opportunity for my child and hearing that my child has been judged and condemned before ever setting foot in the building. I am not naive about the difficulties of that situation. I have lived in a volatile neighborhood, and my children went to an urban high school with all the attending difficulties that arise in those schools. I would never suggest that being nice is a simple solution to all the problems of animosity, hostility, or violence in our world or in our schools. But our faith suggests that when simple solutions fail, we must look for the complex solutions. We have to look for the hard stuff and figure it out somehow, some way, or at least keep trying. In our baptismal vows, we say we will respect the dignity of every human being and strive for justice and peace. And this is a theological issue, because this begins with seeing the stranger as a child of God and responding to the stranger with hospitality rather than hostility or fear. Remember, fear is the opposite of love, and we are to love everyone. Might this make us vulnerable sometimes? Yes. Yes. It might make us vulnerable. It might make us vulnerable to those people that we wish to receive. But it also might just make us vulnerable to God working in our hearts. The God we follow, who modeled the supreme vulnerability when arrested and tried and taken to the cross. Let us pray that we, as God's people, as Christians in this troubled society, might not be overcome by fear, but might let our hearts be ruled by love and be part of the solution to the problems that our world has to confront. Amen.